Berkeley.
Beckley. That's right.
Isn't there a Berkeley?
Yeah, there is a Berkeley.
Okay, but it's Beckeley. Okay. Beckeley, West Virginia. And his daddy's been down there in a long time as well. And we appreciate him. I've known Brother Polo now for a good little while. And I think the first time we met, I've been up here 17 years, and I know it was before that. And so it's been a long time. We're getting old. And well, at least one of us is. Once you get your Bible out, I want you to open your heart, and we'll announce and give a little bit more introduction here in the next hour. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Well, nothing like coming to Sunday school and being encouraged by you're getting old, you know? And we had a great early service. I'm happy to see all of you here in the Bible study hour. I see the young people have joined us. I'm very glad about that. And we're going to have a great week together. I live in the mountains of West Virginia. Anybody here from West Virginia? I'm just curious. Yes, good. I see some Spirit-filled people here this morning. That's good. And anybody ever been to West Virginia? Would you raise your hand? How many of you know West Virginia's a state? Would you raise your hand, please? That's good. And I was born and raised there, spent 20 years of my life, more than that, 23, I guess, in Tennessee. And about 5 years ago, God led us into full-time evangelistic work, and just a joy week after week to be in different churches and with faithful pastors and people. And I'm honored to get to spend a few days with you. Now, let's open our Bibles together, and let's do this. How many of you were in the early service? Wave at me just a second. All you early risers, God bless you. Good. On the count of three, I want you to tell everybody else what book of the Bible we're in. All right? See, it pays to come early. You know what I mean? One, two, three. Very good. And in fact, we're going to study one chapter of the Bible together this week. We're going to concentrate on it. Instead of hopping all over Scripture, we're going to camp in one chapter. And it is the last chapter of the Bible. It is Revelation chapter number 22. So I want you to find Revelation 22 with me. And in this Sunday school hour, I want to have a little Bible study with you, primarily on one verse. And in fact, a verse at the beginning of the book and a verse at the end of the book that connect to one another. And give you a very practical application, I hope, that will help you long after this meeting is over, not just with Revelation 22, but with all of the Word of God. In Revelation 22, of course, the last page of Scripture, God reminds us of so many things He wants us to remember. And I want to draw your attention to verse number 7, where the Lord speaks. And He says, "Behold," that is literally like say, "Hey, look here now, pay attention, don't miss this." It's like a divine wake-up call. "Behold, I come quickly." By the way, we'll see this more later this week, but He doesn't say it once. He doesn't say it twice. He says it three times in one chapter. "I'm coming. And not only am I coming, I'm coming quickly." But then, in light of that, by the way, I hear all these people want to talk about prophecy, but it makes no difference in the way they live their life. They've missed the whole point. You see, "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." If we understand Jesus is coming and we are going, then it ought to make a practical difference in the way I live my life every day. If all I do is sit around and study a book like Revelation and say, "Oh, I know that, and I know what's coming next and what comes after that, and I understand what these seals mean, and I know exactly what these plagues are." And look, do you know the most arrogant people in church? The most arrogant people in church are the ones who win Bible trivia every time they play. And do you know why? Paul tells us, because knowledge puffeth up. We don't need to know more. We need to do more. In fact, I didn't come this week just to give you a bunch of information. God deliver us from more information. You see, you can have a head full of knowledge and a page full of notes and a heart empty of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want to say to you that when you come to a book like Revelation, it's not just for interest's sake. You ask people, "What's your favorite book of the Bible?" Half the people I ask say, "Revelation. I really like Revelation." Not because they understand it, not because it's affected the way they live their life. It's just intriguing to them. And I want to say to you, this is not a Hollywood movie. This is the reality that we are facing in eternity. And it ought to make a difference in the way we live our life today. So when the Lord says, look at verse number 7, "Behold, I come quickly..." Is there a period at the end of that? Yes or no in your Bible? No, mine either. In fact, there's a little colon. Young people, forgive me for talking about grammar on Sunday. I know it's bad, really bad. But why is there a colon? It means there's more to come. Well, the Lord, there's always more to come. And when the Lord says, behold, I come quickly, that's not just a statement of fact. That's the great motivator. Read on. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, without a doubt, when he says this book, it's a reference to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the final revelation of God. But I am convinced that God's book is one entire revelation, of which the revelation of Jesus Christ is just the divine exclamation point. So in fact, when God speaks of this book, he is referencing all of his word. In fact, when you come to the end of the chapter, just jump down, would you please, to verse 18. Here's how serious God takes this book. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of what? There it is again. This book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. This book, this book, this book, this book. Sounds like this book's pretty important. What do you think? Now, wait a minute. We love, don't we love to preach against everybody else's sin? I can spot your sin at 100 yards and tell you all about it. It's my sin I have a hard time seeing sometimes. I come into churches and people say to me, I tell you, preacher, really give it to us. We need revival. Let me give you the translation of that. Straighten all these other sinners out. He needs to get right with God. She needs to make something right. No, no, no. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And you know what we love to do when you come to Revelation 22? We love to talk about those who add to the book and those who take away from the book. Is that serious? Very serious. Look what God says about it. But did you notice that there's something else that's very serious? Those who have the book, but it's made no practical difference in the way they live their life. It's easy to fuss at the darkness and miss the darkness that's creeping into your own heart. It's easy to talk about what they are doing and fail to talk about what we are not doing. It's easy. It's easy, frankly. Let's just get real. It's easy to preach against the abortion crowd and the sodomites and all the immorality out there and miss our sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? And what is our great sin? What's the sin of the church people? What's my sin, your sin? We'll go back to verse number 7. Our sin is that we have this book and we hold this book and we carry this book. And sometimes when we get really stirred up, we even wave this book and say, we believe this book. But that's not what God says to do with it. Sorry. God says you're to keep the sayings of this book. In other words, this book is supposed to affect this life. This book is not just about the future. I'm sorry. No, no. See, God's not a future tense God. He's a present tense God. His name is not I will be. His name is I am. And if God is, then it ought to make a difference in the way we live our lives this very day. Now, in your right hand, I want you to hold Revelation 22. Everybody do this with me. In your right hand, hold Revelation 22. And in your left hand, I want you to find Revelation chapter 1. Now, I want you to see how God starts and finishes, how he begins and ends, and see the connection between the two. Look at Revelation chapter 1. The first page, the last book of the Bible, begins this way. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then I want you to read Revelation 1, verse 3 out loud with me. Ready, church? Here we go. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, hold that in your left hand and go back to Revelation 22, verse 7, and compare Scripture with Scripture. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed. Do you see? Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, first word is what? Blessed. Revelation 22, verse 7, God promises what? Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Look, please. The blessing is always connected to the book. Always. When I come to a meeting, a series of meetings, As a general rule, I ask the Lord to lead me to a certain portion of the Bible to preach from. A few years ago, I stopped asking the Lord what sermon he wanted me to preach. In fact, I really am not interested in that at all because I've learned something. I've learned that my sermons don't change anybody's life. And in a few months, you'll forget who even preached this meeting. And that's okay with me. But if you can learn to fall in love with the Bible, if a portion of Scripture comes alive in your soul, if the Lord pulls back the veil and you say, oh, I see him, then friends, that will change you long after this meeting is done. And as I thought and prayed towards this meeting, I truly believe God has led me to Revelation chapter number 22. I think God wants us to study through this chapter this week, not just to know it, but for it to change the way we live our life. And one of the most practical ways that it'll change our life is that all of us ought to rededicate ourselves to the Word of God in our own personal lives. Now, you're part of a wonderful church. I hope you understand that. You're the faithful shepherd that stands in this pulpit every Sunday and preaches the Word of God. You don't have to wait for an evangelist to come to town to hear the Bible. You get a steady diet of the Word of God. And aren't you grateful to God for that? I mean, you got the kind of church where you know when you come, you're not just going to hear some man's ideas about something. You're going to hear, this is what the Bible says, this is what God says. I love that. But I want you to know something. If the only Bible you're getting is the Bible you get from this pulpit, you're never going to be the Christian God wants you to be. Never. See, the blessing is not just connected to the preaching of the Word of God. The blessing is connected to the personal application of the Word of God. It is not connected to your pastor. As great a pastor as God has given you, it is not connected to your pastor. No, this is something that every believer in this room, young and old alike, can actually put into their life, and when they put it into their life, God sends the blessing. So let's take a survey. How many of you would like the blessing of God on your life? Would you raise your hand? Well, it's unanimous. That's amazing. How many of you would like God's blessing on your family? How many of you like God's continued blessing on this church? Here's the problem. Everybody wants the product. Nobody wants the process. In our Instagram shortcut fast food world, everybody wants to jump to the end instead of saying, what's it going to take to get there? People say they want a revival. I wonder if they even know what that means. Let me ask you a question. A revival of what? Like if it came, how would you know it? Somebody said, oh, there'll be a lot of people here. Fooey on that, the devil can get a crowd. God never identified any one of his churches by their size. Not one of them. Tell me how big the church in Philippi was. How many did they run in Thessalonica? How large was the church plant in Colossae? We don't know. It doesn't matter. Because that's not the way God measures his churches. So this church is not measured by its size. It's not measured by even the number of missionaries you support or how much money goes into the budget every year. No. God measures everything by his word. The blessing is always connected to the book. When you neglect the book, you miss the blessing. When you get in the book, let the book get in you. Guess what? You get the blessing. There's no real mystery to it. Oh, it's spiritual, but there's no real mystery to it. God's been very plain about it. You see, I love this. In the book of Revelation, when you think of Revelation, everybody immediately goes to the Antichrist and Armageddon and the tribulation period and the curses. But did you ever notice Revelation opens and closes with the God of blessing? Why is that? Because the heart of God for people is not curse. Sin brings that. The devil brings that. The world brings that. No, the heart of God is the heart of blessing. It is possible to be a blessed people in a cursed world. And we're living in a cursed world. Well, can you say amen to that? Great day. Watch the news. It's a fallen world. We're living around sinners. And here's the dirty truth. You ready? We are sinners. We love to talk about what everybody else is doing or not doing. Oh, my soul, we're sinners. My granddaddy used to say, if you find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll mess it up. He was right. We're all just sinners. living in a fallen world, surrounded by other sinners, and yet, oh, thank you for this, Lord. God has made a way so we can have His blessing in the midst of a cursed world. Notice I did not say after it is over, when the Lord comes and we're the new heaven, new earth. No, no. God says you can have the blessing right now. So how? Well, look at chapter 1 again in verse number 3. Notice three little thoughts, truths that God gives us. So practical. Here's the first. Blessed is he that, what's that word, church? So circle that word in your Bible. Number one, this blessing is connected to an action. And what is the action? The action is so simple, so basic. It's reading. How many of you like to read? I'm just curious. You actually enjoy reading. Would you raise your hand? Wonderful. Whether you enjoy reading or don't enjoy reading, can I tell you one thing you ought to learn to enjoy reading? And that's the Word of God. Everybody says, we need revival. Let me tell you what kind of revival we need. We need a heaven-sent, sin-killing, devil-defeating, glorious revival of Bible reading. That's what we need. Like where people hunger for the Word of God again and get into the Word for themselves and allow God to speak to their hearts. I was preaching in Arizona a year or so ago in a revival meeting, and that particular week I was preaching through the little book of Philemon. It's only one chapter long, one page in your New Testament. I was preaching through it, and a woman came out, and she said to me one night, she said, "Preacher, God's really speaking to me from Philemon." She said, "I've been reading it every day," which is what I'm going to encourage all of you to do with Revelation 22 this week. She said, "I've been reading it every day and just living in Philemon." She said, "God's teaching me things." She was probably in her 80s, and I said, "Praise the Lord, that's wonderful." She just consumed the Scriptures. And she said to me, "I appreciated the message tonight." She said, "But you did miss something tonight." I said, "Did I?" She opened her Bible with a smile on her face, and she pointed to a particular phrase. She said, "You didn't talk about this phrase or this verse tonight." And I laughed a little, and I said, "That's because that's my text for tomorrow night." I'll never forget, she gave me a high five. Now, this is a woman in her 80s standing in the lobby of a church. She gave me a high five. She said, "I can't wait to hear about it." And I thought as she walked out, that woman's been revived. See, when people get excited about the Word of God again, really what they're excited about is the God of the Word. They're not just falling in love with the book. They're falling in love with the author of the book. And George Whitefield, who knew a little something about revival, the great preacher of the Great Awakening, he said, and I quote, "God condescended to become an author." And then he said this, "And most people will never even read the book he wrote." If I said to you, God wrote a book, would you like to read it? Everybody, "Oh, yes, I'd like to read it." Well, then why haven't we? Somebody said, "Well, I read it." No, no, no. When was the last time you read it prayerfully, on your knees, meditatively? Why is it we go to the same portion of Scripture and neglect so many others? If I said to you, "Tell me what God said to you recently from Haggai." Somebody said, "Is that in the Bible?" Yes, that's in the Bible. Then the part of your Bible where the pages still stick together. It's really white and clean there. And yet that's part of God's Word to us. If I said to you, "What's the Lord taught you this week from this book?" I mean, stand and tell us right now something God's taught you this week from this book. Could you say something definitively that God is dealing with you about? Look, it doesn't stop with reading, but it starts with reading. Do you remember when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Till I come, give attendance to," and he gave a list, reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Now, exhortation, that's what I'm doing right now. And doctrine is the detailed study to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. But let me ask you a question. Why is it that we oftentimes give more attention to exhortation than we do to reading? And let me put it in a different perspective. Why would you pay better attention to me than you would the God who wrote the book? You're paying amazing attention right now and sitting and listening and taking notes, and I deeply appreciate that. But look, I didn't write this book. This is not my book. In fact, did you know I'm not even the preacher this week? No, I just work for him. Now, the Holy Ghost is really the preacher. He's the divine author. And yet, when was the last time we gave God such concentrated attention where we said, "Now, Lord, I want you to speak to me"? In the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Do you remember when you first got saved, how excited you were about the Bible? When you got your first Bible, and you started to read and discover things, and God was showing you things. Remember, you'd come to church, you're a new Christian, and you'd say, "You're not going to believe what I saw this week." And you'd tell somebody and say, "Oh, I've seen that 100 times. But it was exciting to you because it was fresh and new in your soul. What happened to that? Maybe we need to fall in love with the Word of God all over again. Maybe we need to go back and say, Lord, I'm going to give more attention, more attendance to reading in my own life. Oh, God, speak to me. By the way, you get there and God will start showing you things. You see, look, it's not about the preacher. I think sometimes we put such emphasis on the messenger, we forgot the message. We put such emphasis on the style of the delivery of some sermon that we forgot that the substance of it all and the only thing that brings a real awakening is the truth of the everlasting Word of God. I'll tell you what we need. We need the blessing that's connected to the action of reading. Did you know every year in the United States Capitol, they hire a group of professional readers, this is true, to stand on the steps of the U.S. Capitol and they read the Bible all the way through from cover to cover. And it takes them 70 hours and 40 minutes. And they trade readers out and they read consistently from Genesis 1:1, Revelation chapter 22. And it takes 70 hours and 40 minutes. That's how long it takes the average reader to read through the Bible. Now, if I ask you, have you ever read through the Bible? Many of you may say yes. Some of us had to be honest and say, well, most of it. But if I ever said to you, have you ever read through it all the way through at one sitting? The answer is absolutely not. And I wouldn't recommend it to you. You're not going to make it, I just tell you. You're going to fall asleep somewhere. But watch, that's not the point. Take 70 hours and 40 minutes and divide it by 365 days in the year. And do you know in about 12 minutes a day? Think of this. 12 minutes a day. You could read through this book in 1 year. All right, let me take another survey. How many of you watch television for 12 minutes a day? Would you raise your hand, please? Come on now, be honest. How many of you would say you're on a phone, either talking or texting, for at least 12 minutes a day? Would you raise your hand? How many of you ever surf the internet or you're online for at least 12 minutes a day? Would you raise your hand? All right, here's one I know I can get you to respond to. How many of you eat for at least 12 minutes a day? Multiple times, right? Some of you are already thinking what you're going to eat when the preacher finally stops talking today. I know what you're thinking about. Let me ask you a question. Why is it we do all of those things 12 minutes a day, and yet, when was the last time God's people gave an uninterrupted 12 minutes a day to just say, Lord, Lord, speak to me? Why would we be more concerned with our relationship with men than our relationship with God? Or why would we be more concerned with feeding our body than feeding our souls? Why would we be more concerned with time than with eternity? You want the blessing? All right. Then you must read. That's not all. Look at the verse again. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that what? Circle that word in your Bible. So we move from reading to hearing. Notice, please, the blessing is not only connected to an action. The blessing is connected to an attitude. Actions always are connected to attitudes, aren't they? Part of the reason that we don't read is we don't see the importance of it like we ought to. We're not really in tune with God. When the Bible says hear, he's not talking about physical hearing. Remember Jesus said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the message to the seven churches, I hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What is this? This is spiritual hearing. It is what the old North Carolina evangelist Vance Havner used to call being in tune with heaven. So may I ask, are you in tune with heaven today? At this moment, could the Lord speak to you in a still small voice and you recognize his voice and know God was speaking? Are you there? Are you that close to the Lord at this moment? Do you hear the beautiful music in here? Everybody listen just a second. Be real quiet and listen. Oh, listen, do you hear the music? Lovely music. Somebody said, I think this preacher's lost his mind or is hearing one. There's no music in this room. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, and if you bring a radio right here and let me start to tune the dial and the frequency, immediately somebody would say, oh, we know that channel, or we sing that song, or I know that voice. But watch, please. The music is actually here all along. You just got to get some receiver on the same frequency to pick it up. Listen to me. There is a God. Do you believe there is a God? And the God who is still speaks today by His Spirit and through His Word. I want to say to you, God is still speaking in this generation as we live on the edge of eternity and the soon coming of Christ. The time is at hand. The Lord is speaking. But He's looking for some people who will get in tune with what God wants to say to them. And I wonder, are you such a person? You want to be a blessed person in a cursed world? Number one, read. Number two, hear. I'm thinking now of Jesus saying to those Pharisees one day. Do you remember those Pharisees? All they want to do is argue. They just want to argue. And by the way, they didn't just want to argue. They wanted to win. They wanted to be right. And the Lord poked him in the eye. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful to see Jesus just poke him in the eye? He looked him in the face one day. Think of this. The people who knew the Scriptures better than anybody and professed themselves to be the interpreter of it for everyone else, he looked him in the face and asked this question, "Have you not read?" I mean, you want to talk about insulting. He just called the doctors of the law out and said, "Have you never read what Moses wrote?" And then proceeded to quote it to them. Watch this, please. The problem was, perhaps they had read it at some point, but their heart attitude was not in tune with the God who gave it. Look, they had the letter of the law, but they missed the spirit of the law. They had the habit of reading, but they missed the heart of it all. And I want to say to you, if we're going to have revival, somebody's going to say, "Dear Lord, we don't want to just hear a preacher. We want to hear from God." That's not all. Look at verse 3 again. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep." So we move from reading to hearing. Mark it in your Bible. To keeping. The blessing is connected to an action. That's the reading. It's connected to an attitude. That's the hearing. But now it's connected to application. This is the keeping. The word keep here literally means to apply, to obey, to live, to guard, to make it your own. Dr. Frank Sells is one of my favorite Bible teachers. And if he would hear something, somebody would teach or preach. By the way, a mark of a great teacher is he's still a great student. And Dr. Sells, I think, was such a great teacher because he was still hungry for God. Well up into his 70s and 80s, he was growing in his knowledge of the Lord and his understanding of Scripture. And I heard him so many times, he would hear something and he would say, oh, his face would light up. He'd say, oh, I like that. I'm going to make that my own. I wonder this week if there might be some believers who say, oh, I want to make that my own. Lord God, I want to apply that to my life. I want that to be lived out in my life. It was Spurgeon that said, the preaching doesn't even begin till the application begins. You think somebody's done some preaching because a sermon's been given? No, sorry. No, the preaching, the sermon, doesn't even really begin until we begin to take that truth and make that a part of our life. And I wonder, what's the Holy Ghost going to say to you this week? What does He want to say to you this week? And are you ready to receive it? And don't you find it interesting? Let's compare it one last time. Look at Revelation 1, verse 3. The reading leads to the hearing, and the hearing leads to the keeping, and the keeping leads to the blessing. And now go to Revelation 22, verse 7, and notice the final reminder of this truth. When you get to Revelation 22, 7, and now he's not supposing you're not reading, for you've read this far. He's not supposing you're not hearing, because surely you've been wide open to receive, or you wouldn't have come this far. But look at verse 7, the thing we must always go back to. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. From start to finish, God's emphasis is always on obedience. So let me really meddle for a moment. What will change when this meeting is done? Anything? Nothing? If I spend these few days with you and we study this chapter of the Bible and everybody says, well, that was nice and we had a good meeting, then I want you to know I wasted my breath and you wasted your time. I didn't come for my health or I wanted to travel. I came because I believe the Word of God is powerful, and if we will allow it, God will use it to change our lives. And I wonder, what change does God want to make in all of us? You want to know the most important time in a meeting? The most important time in a special meeting are the days leading up to it and the weeks coming out of it, not the days of the meeting itself. So here's what I've learned. Your pastor's told me about people praying, seeking God for this meeting, and I'm very grateful for that because the days leading up to it are the days where God tenders the heart and prepares the soil and gets us all ready to receive what God has for us to give. But look, if we look at the meeting as an end in itself and we all come here and we study a portion of the Bible and we hear a few sermons and we enjoy some good music and we say, well, that was really great, we had a great time, then we have dead-ended what God desires to do. No, my friend, the weeks coming out of this meeting will reflect the real transformation that the truth has made in our life. If you want to be blessed people in a cursed world, then we must get back to the Word of God for ourselves. Let me end in the Old Testament, shall we? Everybody go back with me quickly to the book of Habakkuk. That's one of those sections, you know, where the pages still stick together. So see if you can find it. And somebody says, why are you taking us back to Habakkuk? Just to prove that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? No, that's a good lesson. But I want you to see that the message that we find in Revelation 1 and Revelation 22 is actually found all through Scripture. You see, God's heart is always to get our heart ready to receive. Habakkuk is a book of revival, interestingly enough. It is a book of a famous revival prayer in Habakkuk 3 that God would, in wrath, remember mercy. But I want to draw your attention to Habakkuk 2 because before the prayer is the word. Maybe we would pray more if we heard more. Maybe we would respond more if we received something. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. The prophet says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Now remember, they're facing the Babylonian captivity. Somebody says, well, he must be standing on the watchtower looking for the enemy. No, no, he wasn't looking for the enemy. He was looking for God. What are you looking for this week? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Maybe that's why we don't get in the book much. Because when we look in it, God begins to reprove us. He uses the mirror to show us. That's painful, isn't it? But Habakkuk says, I just believe God's going to speak. I'm watching to see what God's going to say, and I'm getting myself ready to answer what God wants to say. And look at verse number 2. And the Lord answered me. Boy, I like that, don't you? And said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables. God's always wanted his word, this book, to be plain. That, here's the great purpose, he may run that readeth it. It changes you. It sets something in motion. You ever line up a bunch of dominoes, knock the first one down, and watch the chain reaction? Look, let me tell you what I'm praying for this week. I'm praying the Holy Ghost of God will take the word and just go, because I know if the Holy Ghost could just set something in motion in hearts and homes and lives, that the spiritual chain reaction would bring great glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do something in Habakkuk? Take your pen, and in the first part of verse 2, circle the word write. Aren't you glad God wrote a book? How many of you are glad God wrote a book? I mean, good night. He put it in black and white. What more do you want? And come to the end of verse 2 and circle the word readeth and connect the two in your Bible. God writes and we read. Do you see the same three elements here? There's the reading of God's word. There's the hearing of God's word. He says, I'm going to watch to see what he'll say. I'm going to get ready to answer him when I'm reproved. In other words, watch this, church. There's a spirit of expectancy. And then there's not only reading and hearing. Guess what else there is? There's the keeping of it, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, this is going to set something in motion that is going to change the direction of my life. Someone asked me recently, in the churches you're in, what's the worst thing you're seeing? Quite a question, isn't it? What's the worst thing you're seeing? I guess they wanted me to say, you know, all the music that's creeping in and loose standards and whatever. You fill in the blank. And you see some of that. But that's not the worst thing I'm seeing. No, I'm going to tell you the worst thing I'm seeing in churches. You ready? Low expectations. Very low expectations. We have a meeting? Just have a meeting. We bring a preacher in, we think he'll preach a few sermons, and maybe they'll be all right. But nobody really expects God to show up. No, we're praying little tiny prayers to a big God. And we brought the bar real low so everybody can reach it. And there's so little expectation that revival actually will come. And I wonder, do you want the blessing? Then the key is not this preacher. It's this book. In the last 5 years, I have developed a deepened conviction. I taught it for years in Bible doctrines classes. I believed it then, but I really believe it now. I believe in the sufficiency of God's word. I don't have to preach good sermons this week. Whew. I don't have to impress you. That's not at all what I came to do. What I have to do is just simply give you this book. And believe if you'll get ready to receive it, the Holy Spirit will use it in all of our lives to change us forever. And I wonder, will you let God be thorough with you? I'd like you to bow your head with me just a moment where you are. I'm not going to give a public invitation in this Bible study hour, but I am going to make an application because I think truth always leads to application. I'm going to ask you if you'll join me in a prayer all over this building, our heads and our hearts bowed before God. If you've neglected the Scriptures, would you confess that to God and say to the Lord, "Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord." I'm sure you're probably thinking, I'm going to ask you if you'll determine to read the Bible through in a year, if you'll commit to, you know, the next 6 months doing something with the Bible. I hope you'll do that, but that's not where I'm going to start. I'm just going to give you a jumping off place today, a beginning point. I'm going to ask, how many believers in this room today would say, "Preacher, I want a renewed love for the Scripture and dedication to it. And if God will help me during this meeting, during this revival meeting, I won't just come hear the sermons, but during this meeting, I'm going to give myself to the Word of God, to Revelation 22, and I'm going to ask God to speak to me, and I want to try to get myself in a place where I'm ready to hear what God wants to say. Preacher, I want this week to change the way I live, to change areas of my life. I want to be ready to answer when I am reproved. I want that, and I'll commit to that today." I'd like you to raise your hand in the air with mine right now. Would you please? And I want you to lower your hands, and in the stillness of this moment, I want you to tell God what you just told me. It's not between me and you. It's between you and the Lord. From your heart, God is listening. Lord, I do love you, not as I should, but I do love you. And I love this book, Lord. I love it because it's your word, it's your own revelation. And I want to thank you for it. Forgive me, Lord, for so often being so mechanical, even as I approach it. Oh, Lord, make us hungry and thirsty after righteousness again. Give us a heart to know you. Help us this week. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us a fresh vision of our God. And may we know the blessing connected to it. In Jesus' name, amen.